Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's read verse 23 this morning. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful chapter in the Word of God. Lord, we thank you that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Lord, help us to see that truth in your Word this morning. Father, thank you for the lives of those who have gone before us, lives of those who struggled, that failed, but yet, Lord, lives whom you have divinely chosen to lift up out of the pages of your Word for us to be challenged and encouraged with. And by their faith, Lord, encourage us to go forward from here in faith. Father, we do pray that you would speak to us once again through your Holy Spirit. Lord, may he fill us with his presence. May he guide us into all truth this morning. And Father, only you know the need of our lives and our hearts this morning. Lord, we thank you that your word is able and it is complete and sufficient, Lord, and powerful, Lord, to speak to us this morning and to minister to our greatest need. Father, our greatest need is thee. Lord, help us to now be willing to say yes to your guidance this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we've been going through Hebrews chapter 11 this year, we've seen God give us many, many examples of those who lived by faith. And God lifts them up out of the pages of his word for us to look at, for us to examine, for us to follow. Moments in their lives that were moments of faith. And as you know, God is pleased with faith, and faith honors God, because without faith it is impossible, the Bible says, to please him. Now, as we approach the character of Moses, the subject of Moses, let me remind you that out of all the people in Hebrews chapter 11, more is written about Moses than any other. I think previously I mentioned Abraham, but actually when I looked again, it was Moses who had more written about him than Abraham. Moses certainly was a great man of faith. I mean, who could forget the great Red Sea crossing where Moses encouraged God's people by faith to trust in the Lord. And the Red Sea opened, and there were walls of water on either side, and God's people walked over to the other side to safety on dry ground. What an amazing record of faith in the life of Moses. Moses was a great man of God. But notice in verse 23, before we can look at the life of Moses, God sees fit to show us the faith of Moses' parents. Have you ever read through the scriptures and thought, well, it'd just be natural to go from Joseph to Moses? And suddenly God gives us a verse of faith to challenge us and for us to learn from. The faith of Moses' parents. You see, here in verse 23, before we get to the life of Moses, God makes a connection for us. You see, childhood is connected to adulthood. What takes place in the heart of a child determines what kind of adult that child will become. And so God shows us the faith of Moses' parents to encourage us in our homes and in our families, and for us as adults and young adults and even teenagers to be an encouragement to the next generation. Because let me say this, if we are going to ensure the future of the faith here at Coastline Baptist Church, then we need to live by faith in this generation. We need to live by faith right now. You see, there was a reason why Moses became a man of faith. He had parents that were great people of faith. So this morning we are going to look at the faith of Moses' parents. The faith of Moses' parents. We're going to look at three things this morning. Notice, first of all, their defiant faith. Their defiant faith. The Bible tells us in verse number 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, friends, look up here this morning. Moses' parents' faith was no ordinary faith. No, their faith was a defiant faith. Their faith was a bold faith. What is the background to what's taking place here in verse 23? Well, notice Exodus chapter number 1 as we turn there. Notice the book of Exodus chapter number 1. Exodus chapter number 1, thank you for turning there. Notice verse number 8. The Bible tells us that after Joseph died in verse number 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. You see, friends, the glory days of Joseph had gone. What we looked at last Sunday and what we were reminded of, that Joseph was the second in charge to only Pharaoh himself, those days had long gone. There arose another king who knew not Joseph, who knew not the God of Joseph. And as he observed the growth of the Hebrews, he was fearful, this king, that the Hebrew population would grow so great that if they joined one of their enemies, one of the enemies of Egypt, they could overthrow the empire of Egypt. You see, he was fearful. He was afraid of what might happen. And as you know, this king feared what would happen. So he made a decree, a horrific decree, an abominable decree, that all male Hebrew babies that were born would be thrown into the river Nile and be put to death. You see, he came up with an extermination program. He came up with a way to make sure that the Hebrew people, the people of God, did not grow any more in numbers than they had. But you see, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 tells us that in their humble little home, there lived some people that were going to choose to live by faith. Amram and Jochebed, Moses' parents, lived with their children, Miriam and Aaron, and this little family had a wonderful faith in God. And their faith was demonstrated by their actions. Look, just because they could not change the world did not mean that they became like the world. Their faith was shown by their actions. They had a defiant faith. Now, that those two words might seem to be opposite to one another. Defiant faith. But you see, their faith did not defy God or go against God. No, their faith defied the world. Their faith defied the world. You see, they chose not to submit to the king's command. Is that correct? They chose not to fear the king's command. But they actively and by faith hid Moses for 3 months, trusting in the living God. First of all, what do we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23? We see that they defied the world. They defied the world. Friends, this family was living in perilous times. In fact, I don't think we could compare any time in the day in which we live in anything like the day that Moses' parents and family lived in. Friends, there was an extermination process in place, granted by the king, enforced by the law. Now, not just by the soldiers that were there, but the king, the Pharaoh of Egypt, in fact, told all his people, the Bible says, to be on the lookout. He told all his people what he had decreed. Would you agree it was a fearful time? It was a perilous time. And I'm afraid many of us as Christians have the excuse that, well, we live in the last days and it's impossible to grow a family by faith. It's impossible to have a home that honors God and bring up children to love and serve the Lord. But friends, though we live in perilous times today, we can't compare to those times that this little family lived by faith in. Yes, we live in perilous times. Yes, the Lord is coming. And as we see the Lord approaching, as we see the last days in which we live in continue to break down the moral fabric breaking down around us, friends, this isn't the time to live in excuses. You see, this family did not make excuses. In such a wicked and dangerously perilous day, they made a choice, did they not? They made a choice to trust in God. And they expected that God would bless their home as a result. And guess what? He did. Amen? God blessed this little home more than they could possibly expect. Let me encourage you, parents, we need to make the same bold choice today. We need to choose to have a defiant faith against the world. We need to make sure that we do not allow our homes to become infected by the world. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You see, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, God tells us, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You see, God says we need to be careful in our Christian life to love the world less and less and less. As we see how much God hates the things of the world, the things that the devil has created, the things that man's sinfulness has conjured up, we need to make some choices in our homes. You see, this little family made a choice for God. They made a choice to defy the world by faith. And adults and teenagers, we need to make the choice to defy the world, to reject the things that are ungodly, things that we see, places that we go to, things that we touch, things that we hear. Friends, it's very simple. Thank God He has made it easy. God has made it very simple. He has given us His Word, and friends, if it's displeasing to God, then it has to go. Amen. If it is displeasing to God, it has to go. That's how simple God has made the Christian life. We need to get rid of those things that are displeasing to the Lord. And not only do we need to defy the world, but we need to have faith. Like Moses' family of old, we need to have faith in the Lord. We need to put those things of God into our homes. We need to make sure that the Word of God is taught and talked about and taught to our children. The stories of Hollywood today ought to be foreign to our kids. And the record of the heroes of the faith ought to be their favorite stories. Now, you can choose to fill their lives with the things of God, or you can choose to fill their lives with the characters of Disney. And as our young teenage girls saw on Friday night, Disney has an agenda. It exalts rebellion. It exalts disobedience in the home. It exalts that which is against the Word of God, if you look carefully enough. Yes, it does. And yet so often you and I are naive. So the worldly influences we are allowing to be channeled into our children's hearts. Let me encourage you, families. God has called us to a responsibility to defy the world, to not allow the world into our home. You see, He was a little family that took a stand for God by faith. By faith, they took a stand. Let me ask you this morning, families, are you defying the world in your home? Are you making a stand? Teenagers, you're part of it too. Don't blame your parents when you sneak into the home that which God hates. No, teenagers, God holds you responsible. God holds you responsible. And if you can be an encouragement to your parents, then do so. Say to mum and dad, hey, there's some things that need to go. There's some things that need to get thrown out, because the grip of those things are so strong, we need to get rid of it before we become like the world. You see, this little family made a choice. And there is that constant pull. Let me guarantee you, the things of the world are very, very enticing. That's why they're so dangerous. If they weren't tempting, then we wouldn't be talking about it this morning. But because they're so attractive, because they have such a pull, because they appeal to our sinful flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, that's why they need to go. And it's not something that will happen naturally. We need to make a choice to defy the world in our home. Friends, all of us have things in our homes that need to go. All of us have things that are trying to come into our homes that need to be kept out. Amen? It's a constant battle. But what it is a part of the life of faith that God has called us to. A defiant faith. A faith to defy the world. Now, you and I might think it was bad enough to live in Egypt. It was bad enough to live in this time that Moses' parents lived in. Not only did they make a choice to defy the world, but notice with me, they made a choice to defy the worldly. To defy the worldly. You see, what was worse, I believe, than the nation of the Empire of Egypt seeking to destroy the people of God, you and I would think that was bad enough, but not only that, many of God's people had departed from the faith. Many of those who claimed to be children of God were worshipping the idols of Egypt. Notice with me Joshua chapter 24. If you turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 24. On the last chapter, Joshua's life. Joshua spoke to the nation of Israel. Verse 14. Through the wilderness wanderings, as you know, a new generation grew up that had grown in faith. They were about to enter, they had entered the promised land, and Joshua was about to die. And he challenged them in verse number 14. Notice verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in, what's the next word? Egypt. You see, not only did Moses' family choose to defy the world in which they lived, but they also chose to defy the worldly. They chose to live by faith. And in their day, as Joshua recalls, there were many that claimed to be children of God that were Hebrews by birth, that worshipped the gods in Egypt. There were those who claimed to be God's children, but that would not obey God. Many around Moses' parents. Many that did not fear the Lord. And they did not serve the Lord. And they had taken into their lives the idolatrous practices of the Egyptian religion. Notice verse 15. Notice what Joshua decides to do in his day. He says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And friends, let's be mindful that before Joshua made this commitment, before he made this choice, there was a little family in the Empire of Egypt that chose to defy the world, and they chose to defy the worldly, and they made a choice in their day that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That was the motto of Moses' parents' family. They chose to fear God, not the king. They chose to worship the one true living God. They chose to obey the Lord and trust in Him. See, they chose not to live like the world, but even more so, they had a defiant faith to stand out from among the crowd and not to follow the worldly among God's people. Now, beloved, we are surrounded today by those who call themselves Christians but refuse to obey God. Friends, just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean that they're saved. Just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean that we should follow their ways. The question is, are they obeying God? And in the day in which we live, we need to make a choice, parents, in our homes to do that which is right. Amen? God hasn't called us to be followers of people. God has called us to be followers of Him, of His Word, of His holiness, of His purity. God has called us to follow Him. And even among God's people, there are many who have, just like here in the Empire of Egypt, have allowed the idols of the world to come into their lives, have allowed the world to enter into their hearts and to their homes. And in order for you and I to live by faith, we need to make a choice. We need to make a choice to separate from those which are worldly. Friends, that's the choice we need to make. That's what it means to live by faith. Look, just because so-and-so watches this kind of programming, and when they invite you to their house and you're thinking you might talk about the Lord, and they've got a stack of DVDs and they want to put one on, and you watch a movie and you just allow the world to take hold of your heart, just because they do that doesn't mean you should.
Amen.
Doesn't mean it's right. Just because such and such a family goes to this place and though you might feel uncomfortable about it, but because they go, then it's okay. Who says that's the way we ought to live as Christians? Friends, our standard is the Word of God. Our standard is God's Word, not the example of others. And friends, God hates idolatry. God hates idolatry. God hates the worship of that which takes us away from Him. Well, it must be okay to listen to that music because this family listens to it. Well, friends, what a terrible example to follow. If that's your attitude in the Christian life, you're in big trouble. This attitude of pleasing others or pleasing self. Christ has called us to please Him. What's the point? Well, the majority must not be the standard, amen? The majority must not be the standard. The Word of God must be the standard. Christian, are you defying the world? Parents, are you actively making sure that the world does not come into your home, and when it does, you get rid of it. Amen? You're honest with your kids. You challenge them. You rebuke them. You show them the Word of God. You show them from God's Word what He says. But also, are you separating from the worldly? Are you separating from them? The Bible tells us we are not to keep company and fellowship with those who call themselves Christians but are living in disobedience to the Word of God. That's how strict God is when it comes to our fellowship. Let me encourage you, those of you who seek to do right, make friends with those who are also doing right. Don't be discouraged by those who are disobeying God. I remember as a young Christian, one of the most discouraging things that I found out after soon getting saved is not every Christian wants to please the Lord. When I just got saved, such great confusion to me. I got to know some people in the church and I got to know a family and suddenly I found out that someone in that family who was a member of the church and song leading and serving and witnessing turned around to me and said, "Oh, just because our church does this doesn't mean it's right. You know, not everyone has to go soul winning. You know, it shouldn't be pushed on people." And soon this church, this family was leaving the church because they didn't like the church following the Word of God. Soon this family was leaving and their dress standards suddenly started to change. That's interesting, isn't it? Their dress standards started to change. Their standards of purity started to change. And they started to say things against the pastor, things that were obviously wrong from the Word of God. And as a new Christian, I was standing back and I was thinking to myself, what's going on here? Shouldn't every Christian at least want to please the Lord? Even if we're not doing that as we should, shouldn't we have a sincere heart to do that? And if there is disobedience in our life, shouldn't we desire God to bring us forth in our faith? But there'll be Christians around you. There may be even Christians in this church whom as you get to know them are living disobediently to God. And what does God say? Well, you need to live by faith. You need to live defiantly against the world and against the worldly. Just because another family or another Christian, even in our church, does something doesn't mean it's right by God. One of the latest crazes that has come out today is this new Pokemon Go app. This game that's available. That's taking the world by storm, if you will. I asked Brother Huey to put together a little pamphlet that's available on the table at the entrance. Computer games. Now, they sound harmless, do they not? Harmless. We might say, well, look, at the worst, it's a waste of time. No, that's not the worst of it. In fact, at best, it's a waste of time. At worst, these games are controlling. They're addictive. They're obsessive. The themes behind the games are supernatural. There's a supernatural little creature or numbers of creatures that you need to find that have magical powers. Wizardry, the Bible tells us, is an abomination to God. Witchcraft is an abomination to God. And friends, Pokemon Go is not of God. Now, if it's not of God, where does it come from? It comes from the world. And yet, what are many Christians doing? They're entertaining themselves with the things of the world. Maybe, parents, you have been guilty in allowing your children to fill their lives with the games of the world, and you're wondering why their hearts are at where they're at right now. Because they're loving the world. And you've let it in. You've let it in. It has to go. Amen. Pokemon Go needs to go. And the reason why many Christians aren't going into all the world to preach the gospel is because they're hooked on the world. They're hooked on computer games. What foolishness. What foolishness. Absolute foolishness. Occult spiritism on our phones. Walking around with a phone, trying to find a little character. Brother Randy mentioned this morning that a friend of his almost ran over a little child because he was looking for a little foolish character on his phone and walked across the road into oncoming traffic. How bad is it? Consuming the lives of Christians. You see, the idols of the world want to get in. The devil knows if he can get us addicted to the things of the world, we'll become so desensitized to it that a message like this will be an offense to you. You'll go home and sit down, Dad and Mum, with your kids and say, well, that's his opinion. Is that right? That's his opinion. We have liberty, the Bible says. No, we have liberty to obey the Word of God. We have liberty to do that which we could not do before we were saved. I could not please God before I was saved. I could not obey God because I didn't have the Spirit of God. I did not know the Word of God. I wasn't saved. But now I have liberty in Jesus Christ to say no to sin. We have liberty to defy the world. We have liberty to toss out those DVDs, amen? We have liberty to get rid of that wicked music. We have liberty to allow God into our home and to raise up a home that honors the Lord, that pleases God. You see, God ultimately blessed this little home abundantly, amazingly, the life of Moses. But, stop. God says, look at Moses' parents first. Let me show you something about them first. They defied the world, and they defied the worldly. Christian, are you willing to stand out? Are you willing to stand out from the crowd? That's the kind of faith that God will bless. Amen. Not an ordinary faith. Not a faith that just does the minimum. God never expects the minimum. A faith that's grounded on the Word of God. Parents, do you want the Lord to bless your home? Do you want God's blessing upon your children? The answer is obvious. Of course. Of course. So what do we need to do? We need to have a defiant faith. Amen. Defiant faith. A serious faith. We need to get serious about God. And look, if you're here this morning and you love the world and you're addicted to the world and it's always been that way and every time you try to say no to the world, it's continuously there. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that not only is the world not of the Father, But they which love the world continuously are not of the Father. They're not saved. Friend, if you love the world and have a passion for the lusts and the pleasures of this wicked world system, then you've never fallen in love with Jesus Christ. You've never been saved. The Bible tells us, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, have you come to Jesus Christ as Saviour? Have you come to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Saviour? You see, it's one thing to pray to Jesus because you want to go to heaven. Everyone wants to go to heaven, friends. But Jesus said, except ye repent. What is repentance? A turning away from the world. A turning away from the world. A turning away from our sins, knowing that our own self-will was headed to the lake of fire. That's where it was taking us. God hates the world. It's a turning away in our hearts and turning to Jesus Christ to save us once and for all. So let me guarantee you, once you're saved, you're not going to see the world the same way anymore. You're not going to love it the same way. If you've always loved it and you're still in love with it, and this message is an offense to you, and friend, you need to ask the question, am I really a child of God? Have I been born again? And when you are, trust me, you'll desire to have a defiant faith. You'll want the Lord to help you to take a stand in your home. Let me assure you, it wasn't easy for these parents. In a time of such danger, in a time of such persecution, to also have to decide whom they could confide in and fellowship with among God's people. What a tragic time. May we as a church, amen, be in unity of the Spirit and seeking within our families and our homes to not only defy the world, but to defy the worldly. Amen. Some friends need to go. Let's be honest. Okay? We don't need to be nasty about it. All right? But many people that we spend time with and yea, even invite into our homes need to be kindly asked not to come back, because they refuse to obey God, defying the worldly. That is part of our faith if we want the Lord's blessing upon our homes. Well, their faith was a defiant faith. Notice their faith was also a fearless faith. A fearless faith. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, notice there with me in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, friend, this is an amazing statement, that they had a fearless faith. This was a fearful time. In fact, as a parent, if I put myself in their shoes, I can't tell you what I would do. Now, most of us parents would hide our children. Probably we would. If we had sons that were just born, we would make an effort, wouldn't we, to hide them. But that's not what the Bible is saying of Moses' parents. That's not all God is saying. God is saying this, that they were not afraid. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king had made a decree. If you give birth to a baby boy, I will put him to death. I have every Egyptian in the land looking for anyone expecting a baby, and we are watching for that baby to come, and when that baby boy is born, we will throw him into the Nile and kill him. That was the king's decree. What a fearful time. Imagine if that was an order from the government today. Now, we would hide our children. I don't doubt that. But the Bible tells us that they feared not. They had a fearless faith. What an amazing statement. I wonder as a parent how you and I would have felt. Would we be hiding in fear? Or would we be hiding our sons, if you will, in faith? In faith, trusting in the Lord. That's where Moses' parents' heart were at. By faith they hid their son. By faith they trusted God. And by faith they were not afraid of the king. You see, faith is the opposite to fear, just as fear is the enemy of faith. And when faith is present in your life and mine, faith in the living God, guess what? Fear will go running. Don't skip over verse 23 and get to Moses. Notice the life of his parents. Notice where their faith came from. Verse 23, notice what the Bible says, because they saw he was a proper child. A proper child. Exodus chapter 2 verse 2 tells us that they saw he was a goodly child. A goodly and a proper child. What does that mean? Well, you see, Moses' parents very quickly realized that under the edict of the Pharaoh, God had sovereignly decided to give them a son. Do you realize that? They knew the decree that had been given. And perhaps they could have been tempted to blame God. But you know what? They chose to make a decision to trust in God. If God has given us a son, then there must be something God wants in the life of this child. This son must be someone that God wants to use. There must be a purpose, amen, and a plan for this boy to be born in such a time as this. You see, there was something special about Moses. There was something special. Now, every parent, of course, thinks their child is the cutest, thinks their child is the most special, and that's how it should be, of course. But you see, this perception was an attitude of faith, not an attitude of fear. They didn't throw up their hands in desperation and say, Lord, remember they had no ultrasounds back then. Lord, we were hoping for a girl. But Lord, it's a son. What are we going to do? Lord, this son is doomed. No, they hid him by faith. And they had a fearless faith. They had faith to obey God. You see, more than that, more than knowing that God had a plan for this son, they remembered, if you will, I believe, the promises given to Abraham. The promises given to Isaac. The promises given to Jacob. Remember, Joseph's bones were still in the land. And Joseph's bones were still crying out from the grave that one day the nation of Israel will leave this land. One day they will be set free. And this family had faith in their hearts for the future. They knew that they were going to leave one day. And this family was not looking to death. They were looking for deliverance. And they lived a life of faith. And they knew that God had a plan for giving them a son in such a time as this. They had a fearless faith. They did not fear the future. They were trusting in the Lord. Would you agree with that statement this morning? A fearless faith. That's amazing. Now, I would have been afraid, I have to admit. Most likely, I would have been afraid. They had a fearless faith. Where did that fearlessness come from? It came from their trust in the promises of God. Amen. Now, families, listen carefully. We live in a fearful time. The world is going down the drain. Everything's falling apart. Morality is a filthy word today. Purity is a disgusting word today. God's word is disgusting to the world today. And friends, we are living in a world that is falling around us, falling apart around us and falling apart underneath us. And we need to have more than ever today, we need to have a courageous faith. We need to have a fearless faith. If we are able to stand in our homes in these last days. You see, if we want our children to become people of faith, we need to have a fearless faith in our homes. Adults, it starts with us. Young adults, it starts with you. Teenagers, it starts with you. You need to have a fearless faith. A fearless faith that will obey God and not the fears of this world. There are many real fears in this world. Many. Many real fears. And we need to deal with our fears spiritually. If we want to impact the next generation, the future of our faith, to live by faith, amen? You know, as a parent, it's interesting how we can see our children feeding off our fears. Isn't that true? You know, when we had Joanna, our first child, we had no idea what we were doing. In fact, we're not that much further. The Lord is teaching us, helping us, but we had no idea. And as she started to grow, it was interesting to see the things that she became afraid of. And there are times that we rebuke our children, don't we not, as parents, because they're screaming and hollering, maybe because they see a cockroach, maybe because they see a spider. Maybe because they're afraid of something, and we rebuke them and we think to ourselves, man, where did that come from? Where did that hollering and screaming come from? Where did that panic come from? And more often than not, if we step back, we realize, hey, that came from me. Because they're watching. Amen. They're watching how mum and dad, or mum or dad, freaks out and panics and is afraid. You know, they're watching how maybe mum screams when she sees a cockroach, and how she cannot have a moment's peace until that thing is dead. So when the child sees a cockroach, they run screaming and yelling and running. See, our children feed off our fears, don't they? They adopt our fears. They learn our fears. And it affects them. You know, let me say this. Our children can smell fear. They can smell it. I'm sure they have little antennas that we can't see. And they can sense fear in the heart of their parents. They can sense it. And we can see it in them. But they can also see it in us. And we need to be careful, Christians, that in our homes, in our church, look, if you don't have children, you are still an influence to young people in our church. Teenagers, you're still an influence to our young children in our church. If we live by fear, that's what the next generation will take in. We need to be very careful to have a fearless faith. Friends, we live in a financially fearful day, do we not? Our economy could crumble in an instant. And many Christians, unfortunately, have never dealt with their fears in regard to finances. Many Christians have never surrendered their finances to God. Many Christians have never surrendered their lives to God. My Bible tells me in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Friends, we have nothing to fear as we put God first by faith in our finances. And yet many Christians are afraid to do that. They're afraid of not having enough. They're afraid of not being able to afford what they need. They're afraid of what the future has to hold. So what comes first in their life? Friends, it's work. Well, why is work first before God? Many times it's because it's an issue of fear. Not willing to trust in God to provide. Not willing that if I claim the promise of God that I'll be faithful to Him and I'll serve Him and I'll make time for God and He'll take care of the rest. Friends, that is faith. But fearfulness is putting money first. Fearfulness is putting work first. Fearfulness is putting our career first before the Lord. And as adults, we need to not be surprised if we see our children grow up and even go further than we have in our fears and commit their lives to money, to work, and they're career-minded instead of being Christ-minded. You see, there's the danger, the fear in our lives. Friends, what about the fear of failure? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I can't serve God. I've got nothing to offer. What if I fail? What if everyone sees me fail? I don't want to surrender my life fully to the Lord, and I don't want to step out by faith because I'm worried about what might happen, how my life might change, what might happen to the future. Friends, that's fear. That's living by fear. And if we're not willing to surrender our lives to God and wholeheartedly expect Him to bless, our children will feed off our fears. They'll see mum and dad not willing to commit, and we ought not to be surprised at their lack of commitment. What about our witness? What about our witnessing? If you and I don't allow God to help us to overcome our fears in witnessing, our children are in trouble. Church family, the next generation's in big trouble if we do not overcome our fears in the area of witnessing. Now, I'm not saying you won't be afraid to go out, but you need to allow God to overcome your fears. Your fears of talking to others about Jesus Christ, because it's not by faith. If we claim the promises of God's word by faith, we have His Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power, my Bible tells me. God has given us everything we need, yea, the person of God within us, to give us the boldness to preach the gospel. But we need to step out by faith to go door knocking. We need to step out by faith by talking to our neighbours. And our children need to see that. Because the wonderful thing is, yes, we know that they feed off our fears, but the blessing is they also feed off our faith. They feed off our faith. And in fact, they will go much further in their faith if you and I, as parents and adults, and yes, teenagers, get serious about God. Amen? They will feed off our faith. The other day when we came back from door knocking on a Saturday, my little daughter, who was asleep when we left, having a snooze, I came home and she came running up to say hello. And Joanna asked me, she said, "Dad, where did you go?" And I said, "Well, we went door knocking. We went to meet people around our area and to knock on their doors and to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ." And Joanna looked up at me and she said, "Dad, can I go out with you one day? Can I go out with you door knocking one day?" That's the simplicity of a child's faith. Now, when I first went out door knocking, and I was 25, not 5 years old, I was afraid. I was afraid for a long time. I still get nervous. I won't say that I'm afraid. I still get nervous and need to exercise faith each time. But notice the difference when a younger generation sees the faith of an older generation that is willing to step out by faith, and they will go further in their day than we will. Amen? You see, if we're going to ensure the future of our faith, and that is our theme for this month, we need to get serious about our fears. Our children will be impacted by our fears. If we're fearful about being wholeheartedly surrendered to God, so will they. If we're fearful about trusting God with our finances, so will they. If we're fearful about witnessing, let's not expect our children to go any further. In fact, let's expect them to go the opposite way. See, it's encouraging to see what happened in the life of Moses. Don't miss it. One day, okay, look up here this morning. We're almost towards the end. One day, Moses grew up. And God had a plan for this young man. One day, Moses returned in the will of God to the nation of Egypt. And one day, Moses stood face to face before whom the world believed the most powerful empire and the most powerful king in the world. And this one man who was trusting in God defied an empire. Moses had a fearless faith. Where did that faith come from? Where did it come from? I'm sure he knew of the story of what we're reading this morning. How his parents hid him. How they had a fearless faith in God, and they trusted in the plan of God. They trusted in the future of God. So Moses, as an adult, went much, much further than they ever did in the faith for the glory of God. And see, that's the encouragement we have this morning as parents. As we step out by faith in greater ways, no, none of us are perfect. And yes, they've seen our faults, but our children, if we step out by faith in greater ways, they're going to see that too. If they've been feeding off our fears, we can turn that around. How? By faith in God. Amen? That's the encouragement for us this morning. That's the encouragement. Joshua says in Joshua 1 verse 7, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." What did Joshua tell what did God say to Joshua? And what did Joshua say to the people? God's people. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." How? How is that strength manifested? "That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." When it comes down to it, what is courageous faith? What is fearless faith? It is you and I obeying the Word of God. That is what God has singled out to be the indication of a Christian living fearlessly. A Christian that will dare to obey the Word of God. Now, any spineless, worldly Christian can disobey God. That doesn't take courage. God says that's foolishness. God says that's sin. But a Christian who will dare to obey God, that's teenagers whom he calls courageous. That's whom he calls fearless. Someone who will obey God and obey the Word of God. Friends, God has challenged us much in these past couple of weeks, including our church anniversary, would you agree? But here's the question. When God has called you and I to obedience in an area, have we responded? Have we said yes to God? Have any changes been made in our lives as a result? That's what we need to ask. If there haven't been any changes, then we're still living in fear. We're still afraid of what might happen if we take the Word of God by two hands and say yes to God. And friends, let me assure you, when you do, just like Moses' family of old, God will mightily bless. God will bless your home. God will bless your children. God will bless your family. But it takes a radical, fearless obedience to the Word of God to see that kind of blessing upon your life and mine. Are you willing to make some decisions this morning? Are you willing to say yes to God? Friends, some things need to go. We need to have a defiant faith. If we discover something that we've let in, let's get rid of it. If God has shown it to us, it needs to go. A defiant faith, a fearless faith, and notice lastly, an expectant faith. An expectant faith. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3, let's end there. I'm watching your time. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. An expectant faith. You see, there came a time where Moses could not stay in the house any longer. There came a time where Moses was now 3 months old, and they could no longer hide his screaming, his crying. They could no longer hide him as a son. And the Bible tells us that there came a time where they had to take him out of the house. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3. Thank you for turning there with me. Notice verse 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took from an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the riverbank. The Bible tells us that Moses' mother prepared a little basket for baby Moses. Friends, I don't think there was ever a mother in the history of our world that took as much care by faith preparing that little ark for her baby son. As she prepared the ark, she sealed it watertight with slime and with pitch. She prepared it for her beautiful little three-month-old, and she knew that by doing so, she would have to let him go by faith. And I don't believe as Miriam, Jochebed's daughter, watched on to what happened in to that little basket in the reeds as it sat there, awaiting the fate that God had for this boy. I don't believe that they were watching on in fear. Because we've already learned this morning, have we not, that they had a fearless faith. If they weren't afraid of the commandment of the king, dare I say, they weren't looking on in fear. They were looking on, and let me put it into words, perhaps they said, and perhaps he said to Miriam, Miriam, go and keep your eye on the ark, and let's just see what God will do. Let's just see where God would lead our baby son. Let's just see how God's promises will be fulfilled. You see, she had an expectant faith. This family had an expectant faith. Because they chose to live by faith, they expected God to bless and do His will in their family and in their lives. As she placed the little basket on the river, the same place that was being used to destroy the other babies, it took faith to put him there, would you agree? It took faith to watch him there. And by faith, they did their part. They surrendered their son to God. And by faith, they expected God to do His part. And friends, He did. Amen? He did. He did. A wonderful story we'll look at tonight, as we've been looking at the miracles of Christ. Tonight we're going to divert a little bit and look at the miracles of Moses' deliverance here in Exodus chapter 2. My friends, this is a miraculous event that took place. What we read following. But in summary, what took place? Well, Pharaoh's daughter saw the ark. Pharaoh's daughter opened the ark. And the crying of a little baby Hebrew boy caught her heart miraculously. And then miraculously, that little boy was handed back to his own mother. To his own mother to be cared for. To his own mother to be looked after for a season of time. What an amazing, miraculous event. But here's the point. Moses was given back to his mother. And up to a certain age, he was instructed in the things of God. Up to a certain age, they impressed upon Moses' heart the things of God. And one day Moses grew up and he made a choice. He made a choice for God. And here's my final point. Parents, adults, we need to have an expectant faith. We need to expect that as we step out in greater ways by faith in our homes, that God will bless. Amen? Let's not fear what will happen to our family. Amen? Why do we fear? It's because of our lack of faith. We're not trusting God to transform our homes from the inside out for the better. You see, Jochebed had an expectant faith. Her husband had an expectant faith. They were trusting in the living God. And they put into the heart of their son something whom the Egyptians could not change. Amen? You see, parents, one day we will see our children leave. And I don't want to think about it as a parent. But the reality is one day they will leave home. For some of you, sooner than others. One day they will go out into the world. One day they will go. And parents, we need to be mindful that the only thing worthwhile that they'll take with them is what we have put into their hearts. That which is God. That which is by faith. You see, adults, now is the time to put God into their hearts. Right now. Not tomorrow. Not next year when we turn over a new leaf. No, right now. We need to put the things of God down into their hearts. When they leave, they might leave with a good education. Now, that's good. But that's not the most important thing. When they leave our homes, they might leave with some skills in sport. Okay? Many of us emphasize areas that God never emphasizes. What does God emphasize? Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them about Christ. Teach them about salvation. Teach them about godly living. And friends, only those things that you've placed into their hearts will benefit them when they leave the home. That's the only things that will benefit them. They'll need to make their own choices. But parents, before God shows us the life of Moses, He shows us the life of Moses' parents. They had a defiant faith. They made a stand against the world. God bless you, parents, if you make a stand. Teenagers, you encourage mum and dad if they make a stand this week and say some things need to go. Don't argue against them. Say, thank you for loving me enough to obey the word of God. A defiant faith and a fearless faith. A fearless faith will say, hey, we know what the king has decreed, but we're not worried. We're expecting God to keep his word, amen? We're expecting God to bless. We're expecting God's obedience to God's word to work out for the better for our family and for the future of our children. An expectant faith. Expecting God to do His will. Parents, He has a plan for your children and mine. And the plan right now is that they be raised in a home that is serious for the Lord. If you're a part of a home this morning, let me encourage you to obey the word of God and expect Him to bless. The faith of Moses' parents.